Good morning. This morning, we'd like to offer some instructions, some suggestions for practice. But first, to set the context a little bit, it's useful to reflect for all of us on why we're doing this. This really supports the intention for our practice if we take some time to remember why this is useful, why this is helpful. We could say that the purpose of our practice is really to learn about our minds, to learn and understand why we struggle, what are the ways that our minds get caught, get reactive. And so not only to learn that, not only learn what happens there, but also to see and begin to recognize how our own minds participate in that process. What happens where we get hooked, where something's going on externally, or some sensation of body, a sound or a body sensation, and it's not simply that it's just, oh, that's happening. There's a relationship to it, a reaction. I don't like that, I want it to stop, or I want more of that, I want it to keep going. And so we begin to see that that extra that we add to what's happening, that's where we end up feeling struggle, stress, dissatisfaction, unhappiness, suffering. And so this practice supports the cultivation of wisdom that helps us to understand our minds. That understanding itself, when we begin to see, when our minds begin to see how we are participating in the struggle, our minds begin to reorient, our minds begin to let go, our minds begin to shift. We can't really do the letting go. We can see our minds participating in something, and sometimes we can recognize, oh, that's not so helpful, and kind of let ourselves shift away from it for a while. But often the habits of mind will pull us right back to that pattern. And so it takes something like underneath, a process of learning and wisdom that reveals the whole mechanism of suffering and reveals to ourselves that this extra stuff is optional. It's habitual, it's conditioned, it's what we've been trained to do, but it is not what we have to do. It's not where we have to go. And yet, because the conditioning is so strong, we tend to follow that pattern. And so as the mindfulness and the wisdom begin to meet our experience, my understanding partly of the way this practice works is that with mindfulness and wisdom meeting experience, when mindfulness and wisdom meet something like anger, some kind of reactivity, when they meet that, they understand from the inside, with that perspective of curiosity, what is the human experience of anger? What is the human experience of this reactivity? When mindfulness and wisdom see that from the inside, mindfulness and wisdom understand this is not useful. This is not conducive to well-being. in the moment. The wisdom begins to help us to find a new way. This is a part of the trust of our practice, that our work is in the exploration of being present from this perspective of curiosity about our human experience, and trusting that it's like our organism, our system will reorient and help us to let go, will create the conditions for a shift, a learning, a releasing of those extra activities, that reactivity. And so this cultivation of wisdom not only helps to orient us towards letting go of the things that create reactivity, but also orients us in the direction of the things that create a deeper kind of happiness, create connection, love, equanimity, wisdom, tranquility, calm, peace. And so the movement is in two directions, towards the letting go of the things that get in our way and the cultivation of those things that lead to well-being. Because our system inherently, in my experience and my understanding of a human experience, is that the human being essentially wants to move in the direction of well-being. And we have been engaged in our lives often through kind of a layer of views, beliefs, ideas that have us orient, have us kind of connecting with experience from a particular perspective of needing to get what I want, needing to get rid of things I don't like, this push-pull that we are often so engaged in. It's so much the habit of our minds. And yet, our system inherently wants to move towards well-being. And when we drop below all the agendas and views and ideas and opinions to meet just what's happening, it's like our organism, our system gets a different kind of education about what actual well-being is, what actual happiness and well-being are. And this is the process at work. Wisdom grows in connection with this actual meeting of human experience. Our system knows what well-being is when we actually land in the present moment. And so this is our work, to land in the present moment. So the style of practice that we'll be offering is based on the teachings of Saito Utejaniya. And he emphasizes quite a bit about exploring the mind and the mind's relationship to experience. Because this is where that relationship is. What is happening, the sensations, the what's going on in the world, that's kind of the given of our experience. What sensations are impinging on the body, that's the given of our experience. Our relationship to it has everything to do with whether we are at ease, at peace, or reactive. And so a lot of the exploration of this practice comes to looking at how our mind is relating to the experience. The practice is primarily a receptive practice rather than a directed practice. I mentioned this last night, that we often in certain forms of meditation practice, we learn to cultivate mindfulness through choosing some experience to pay attention to, such as the breath. And that is a great tool to support the cultivation and stability of mindfulness. But my mistake was thinking that if I wasn't choosing what to pay attention to, if I wasn't picking the object of attention, I thought I wasn't being mindful. And yet mindfulness and attention are not the same thing. We can kind of understand this intuitively as we think about engaging in activities that require some level of attention, like driving. Driving requires some level of attention so that we can get to where we're going. And yet, how many of us have actually driven and not been mindful? We've kind of woken up when we've gotten there. It's like, wow, you know, how did I even get here? Something was paying attention. There was an attention happening. But the awareness, the present moment awareness, was not happening. And this happens to us a lot. We do things, we engage in things without mindfulness, and yet there is an attention that's knowing what's going on. So we can see that attention and mindfulness are not necessarily the same thing. So the mindfulness is this kind of awareness of what's happening in the present moment while it's happening. We could say that's the basic definition of mindfulness. And this is what we cultivate in this practice through more of a receptive attention. That when we relax and check in what's already happening, there is something that awareness is already aware of. Now, that factor of attention is happening there, but we're not choosing what to pay attention to. So we can direct the attention, like right now I can suggest you notice the sensations of your hands. Notice the sensations of your feet, contact of your hips against a chair or cushion or bench. And that's, you're directing the attention to those areas. So there's a kind of way that attention is amenable to conscious choice, that we can decide, I'm going to put my attention here for a little bit of time. And yet, that factor of attention is also conditioned. Whether or not we consciously choose to pay attention to something, it's like attention will be conditioned by our habits, our history, and it will pick something to pay attention to. This is how the attention works when we're driving and we're not aware. Attention, the habit of attending while driving, takes over. And so there's a conditioned way that attention is happening there. And so in this form of meditation practice, we explore being curious about where attention is being conditioned to land and seeing if we can know that. And we can do this by just simply like settling back, relaxing. Relaxing is a huge part of this ability to kind of be a receiver, to be able to be aware of what, essentially, what attention is already connecting with without our conscious choosing of it. So we settle back, we relax, and see if we can receive what's obvious in this moment. So the relaxation is crucial. It's really helpful often to start a period of practice with relaxation, allowing the body to relax. Sometimes it can be useful to do this in a kind of a systematic way, scanning through the body and relaxing various parts of the body, or just checking in and seeing where there's tension in the system and seeing if there can be a relaxing of that tension. Allowing the body to relax. Sometimes we can also use a little kind of reminder or a request to support relaxation. I found this to be really helpful. Just dropping in the suggestion. May the body relax. And then not trying to do that. Not trying to make the body relax, but just drop that suggestion in, like you're dropping a pebble into a pond. And see, how does it affect the system to drop that suggestion in? May the body relax. May the body relax. As the body relaxes, it supports the mind to relax. We can also request that. May the mind relax. May mental tension relax. Let's see what happens. As the body and mind relax, as the body and mind kind of land without extra tension, there can be more of a natural waking up to just what's happening right now. This aspect of being aware, being present. And what's obvious in this moment? Maybe body sensations. Maybe sound. Maybe moods or emotions. And now, what's obvious now? Exploring a kind of a settling back and seeing if there can be a curiosity about what's already here, what's already obvious. Within the terrain of mindfulness, this capacity to know what's happening in the present moment, there's two sides of that experience. There's what we know, the sounds, the body sensations, sights if your eyes are open, emotions, moods, thoughts. This is what the experience is. Thoughts. And then there is the knowing, the awareness of it. Are you aware? Do you know that you're aware? It may not be obvious to you how you know that you're aware. But if you even think to ask that question, most likely you are aware. So you get to answer yes to that question. Am I aware? Yes, I'm aware. And then what is obvious? What is awareness knowing? What's the sensation, the feeling, the emotion, the mood, the sound? What is obvious? And so there's the awareness. Am I aware? And what is being known? recognizing the awareness itself, knowing that we are aware, is an important part of how we begin to stabilize the mindfulness. We begin to recognize kind of the flavor or the feeling of being aware. It becomes a kind of a sense that we can touch into. Again, it may not be obvious at the beginning, and that's okay. Just if you know that you're aware, just kind of take that in. Yeah, I know I'm aware. You don't have to try to figure out how you know you're aware. Just take it in. Yeah, aware. I know I'm aware. Awareness is happening. And what is obvious? So are you aware? What's being received? The awareness is almost like this antenna, this receiver. It will receive the entirety of our human experience. It can receive the fullness of who we are as human beings. And so there's that receptive quality of the awareness, and then there's something being received. Are you aware? What is obvious? Maybe sounds, body sensations, sights, feelings. Within the body, pressure, tingling, vibration, heat or coolness. What is the actual experience? And so this is a little bit about the mindfulness aspect of this practice. Knowing that we're aware and what we are aware of. We do need to, while this is a receptive practice and we encourage relaxation and receiving of experience, which can be a more relaxed form of practice, instead of having to pick what we're paying attention to and trying to hold on to it, we settle back and just try to keep the continuity or keep recognizing what's here, what's here, what is obvious. Aware? What's obvious? This kind of gentle connection, moment after moment, remembering moment after moment, to keep connecting. This is a form of effort in our practice. This is what we do, the activity of our meditation. Right now, again, I'm going to point you to some experiences. Notice the sensations of your hands. Notice the contact of your hips against the chair or cushion or bench. How hard is it to know those things? If you're hearing my voice and connecting to what I'm saying, probably when I mention, notice your hands, the attention very easily goes there. So it doesn't actually take a lot of effort to know some experience. So the to be present, to be aware for a moment. What's obvious right now? Just relax and just what's most obvious? The sound of my voice, perhaps? Maybe the body? What's most obvious? Maybe there's a breath that's obvious. Just knowing some experience for a moment is not very difficult. It doesn't take a lot of effort. There's a little bit to know, to connect. Just a little bit. There's a light touch there of effort to connect. But what is more challenging, and where we often tend to get caught in our meditation to strive or to push, is trying to sustain that effort over time. We often, knowing, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to meditate for 40 minutes or whatever, and we it's like we pick up the entire 40 minutes in that first moment of meditation and think, okay, I need to gather the energy so that I can stay present for that whole 45 minutes. And yet, we can't stay present for 45 minutes. We can only stay present for this moment, for this moment, for this moment. And it's not hard for a moment. But what we have to do is just keep remembering moment after moment. Right now, what are you aware of? And now, just a light touch of knowing what's here, moment after moment after moment. I often use an analogy about this kind or level of effort. There are these scooters that kids ride, the kick scooters, not the ones that are motorized, but the ones that you have to tap the ground to get the momentum of the scooter going. So you have one foot on the scooter and you have to tap the ground, tap, 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 to get the scooter to start going. So you might put your foot down hard and push really hard to get the scooter going, but that might create a kind of wobbly ride. It's much more stable to like just tap, 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 and you can tap a little bit, go a little bit, tap a little bit, go a little bit, and then the tapping gives you a little bit of momentum with the scooter. So you do light taps and a momentum develops. And then you can ride for a little while. You don't have to tap for a little while. You get familiar with the feeling of riding, and then you get familiar with the feeling of the scooter getting a little wobbly, and then you put your foot down again and tap some more. Very similar in the way that we explore connecting with the mindfulness. Each moment of recognizing, am I aware, and what's here, is like a little tap of the scooter. You connect. What's here in this moment? How about now? How about now? Just a light touch. That light touch gives you some momentum of mindfulness. There's like a little bit of the momentum of mindfulness. This is what concentration is in this practice, is when the mindfulness begins to come moment after moment. The connection of mindfulness and effort gives us a little bit of momentum of mindfulness. And in this practice, that momentum of mindfulness is the concentration. And so the light touch, moment after moment, of just a little bit of effort to be present in this moment, and then a little bit to be present in this moment, and do it again and again and again, a light touch many times. With that, a momentum will develop. And then we learn, we get familiar a little bit with what it feels like for that momentum of mindfulness to be present. We get a little more familiar with the feeling of awareness and that stability of awareness. And we recognize we don't have to remind ourselves quite as frequently. So this is the way effort works in this practice. It's more about how frequently do we remember to connect. Or remind ourselves, am I aware? What's obvious? You can use those questions, if it supports you, to help you remember to connect. Aware. of what? Aware of what? What's obvious? What's obvious? And now? Now? That the gentle prompting of what's here, what's here? It's kind of a question. It's like we are sitting in the question of what's here. It may help to use an actual question, or it may be just more feel like you're sitting in a feeling, like our body and our mind are the question. And we get familiar with a little bit of that feeling of the momentum of mindfulness, and we might begin to recognize how much do we need to kind of gently connect, aware. And so the effort in this practice is not so much about trying to like really stay with something, but just that more the frequency. It's more about the frequency of reminding ourselves to be aware. When I first met Sayadaw, the very first instruction he gave me was, the only work you need to give your mind is to remind yourself to be aware. That's what we do. We remind ourselves to be aware, and then we notice what's present. Our work is recognizing how frequently to remind ourselves to be aware. And of course, the mind will wander. There will be a forgetting of this reminding. Of course this is going to happen. And if this is a new practice for you, if you're more familiar with the kind of practice where we stabilize with some particular experience, such as the breath, it may seem that the mind is wandering more and it may be wandering more, but it also may simply feel like the mind is wandering more because we're not with one experience. In our habit with the being with the breath, for example, we may have the idea that when the mind picks up on other experience, such as sound or body sensation, that it means that we're not mindful. But if we are aware of that sound or body sensation, we are mindful. And so we can just settle back, receive moment after moment, this and this and this. If the mind is not on one thing, it doesn't necessarily mean the mind is wandering. If we are aware of the mind shifting from experience to experience to experience, right now there's body sensation, and sound, and pressure, seeing, contact. If it feels like the mind is following or shifting from thing to thing, that is not losing awareness. So that's not what I would call the wandering mind. And yet the mind will get lost. The mindfulness will get lost. While it's lost, there's not much to do about it. Mind is wandering. But there will be a moment when mindfulness returns. You will recognize that you have been lost. That moment when mindfulness returns, that's a great moment to get familiar with, to be curious about. Oh, awareness is back. Oh, awareness. What is awareness? What does it mean to be aware? That moment of mindfulness returning, there's a little bit of a kind of a contrast between what it was like a moment before when mindfulness wasn't there and what it's like now when mindfulness is here. So that moment when we return from the wandering mind, from the mindfulness being lost, that's a great moment to begin to really get familiar with that experience of awareness itself. Awareness has returned. What's it like? And then what's obvious? What's obvious? The practice is simple. There might be a pull back to whatever you've been thinking about. If that's happening, it can be useful to consciously pick some object that's easy to connect with. Might be a physical experience. You could put your hands together and feel the contact of your fingers together, or the contact of your hands, just something to help you remember. Or it could be the breath. Maybe the breath for a few moments to remember, to remind yourself, yes, I can let go of that pull to thinking and connect with some experience in the present moment for a few moments. And then you can let go of that intention to connecting to one experience and again, settle back to receive what's obvious. I'm aware. Awareness. What's here? What's here? And so this is a piece of our practice, is cultivating a kind of a beginning stability of mindfulness. The effort and the mindfulness together creates the momentum, which is a concentration, and that's the beginning of the establishment of the continuity of mindfulness. And yet, we still may have habits of mind operating in the background, perspectives, ideas about what is happening that may be kind of behind the scenes. And so another piece of this practice is that we also want to check in about what our relationship to the experience is. So there's what's obvious, and then what's the relationship? How am I in relationship to that experience? There's a sound happening. Somebody sneezes, or there's a motorcycle that goes by, or there's the sound of a bird. There's the experience itself, and then there may be some idea or view, like that one, don't like that one. That should stop. Wish that would continue. This is the relationship to the experience. And so this is a piece of the experience that can often be below the surface. We can be unaware of this aspect of our experience. And so what we're exploring is bringing everything to the surface. When things are below the surface, when reactivity, when greed, aversion, confusion, when they're kind of below the surface of our mindful awareness, we are unwittingly cultivating them, in reinforcing them. If we are unaware of aversion to pain and we're observing something painful, we are probably in relationship to that, trying to figure out, how do I observe this in order to get rid of this pain? Or I don't like this pain, and man, why do I have to pay attention to this pain? So we are perhaps unwittingly reinforcing that aversion. So this is a kind of relationship to experience that is not supporting us in really directly meeting the experience, because there's a layer of some kind of reactivity that is how we're seeing the experience through. Sayadaw calls this wrong attitude, because it's not seen. And so it's important to begin to kind of step back, to peel back the layers and start to see, what are the relationships? What are the attitudes that we are meeting experience with? And so if we can be curious, oh, there's a painful experience, oh, and there's aversion. When we know that, when that relationship comes into the field of awareness, so before it might have been below the surface of our attention, below the conscious of our subconscious, it could have been in the subconscious kind of area, when it's kind of bubbles into conscious awareness, we are seeing it with mindfulness. We can recognize, oh, there's pain and I don't like it. That relationship to the not liking is a completely different relationship than the unawareness of it. As we become aware, oh, there's pain and I don't like it, that relationship to the not liking is now in our conscious awareness. We are aware that it's there. And so it is now something that we can be aware of. It no longer functions as that filter. It may be that we can't quite let it go at that moment. And yet there's a way in which we're learning something about it. We're learning something about that reactivity when we become aware of it. Often what we learn about reactivity as we become aware of it is, ooh, this doesn't feel good. This hurts. Aversion feels constricted, contracted. Greed feels pressing and pushing and holding. So this is part of the education. I talked about this last night, that we get this education with mindfulness about what actually is happening in our system. Before that came into our conscious awareness, we were probably unaware of the impact that that reactivity had on us. Now we're becoming aware of it. So this is part of the education. We need the courage to meet that, to meet those feelings and struggle those reactivities, the experience of those reactivities have in our system. We need some courage to meet that. And so we cultivate a kind of a perspective of allowing whatever is here, whatever comes into our conscious awareness, including all of this reactivity. We cultivate opening to, oh, this is what's here. Allowing, oh, there is unpleasant physical sensation and I don't like it. Not liking can be allowed. What does it feel like to not like? Oh, there's tightness. Okay, tightness can be allowed. Everything can be allowed. This allowing attitude is what I would call wise mindfulness or wise attitude. The kind of attitude that allows us to be at ease with whatever is arising. This is where we're headed. And yet, we don't just flip a switch and get to allowing everything. We get there by being willing to have the courage to meet that reactivity, meet the wrong attitude that Sayadaw points to, that those filters, those views, to have the courage to meet those. That's how we begin to step in the direction of wise attitude. When we become aware of some kind of attitude, as we check in every now and then from time to time, it's useful to also check or drop in the question, what's my relationship? What's the attitude? How am I with this? These are various questions that can get at what's the relationship to experience. When you ask that question, again, you're not looking for anything. It's more just kind of orienting to, is there something else here that wants to show up? That could be another way to put it. Anything else want to show up here? And so we're not looking for anything in particular, but just available to kind of widen our lens to notice there might be something else here. And when we notice it, it might be very obvious, oh yeah, there's this not liking that's here. When we become aware of an attitude, we just let that be something else in the field. Oh, not liking is happening. What's that like? We don't have to try to fix it, change it, get rid of it. Just what's that like? That's what's obvious in this moment. What's here with that? And maybe it stays around for a little while, or maybe it points out that there's some body sensations associated with that. Or maybe a sound comes along and the not liking is completely forgotten in that next moment. What's here? What's obvious? That's the basic practice. So we'll talk about these three pieces of our practice. Well, there's four really: relax, recognizing, the awareness itself. Am I aware? What am I aware of? And checking the relationship to experience. We'll talk more about these as we go through the retreat. And this afternoon, this morning actually, at the next sitting at 10:15, since we're coming to the end of our morning time together, and Alexis will offer some instructions for walking. We'll move into the walking practice. At the 10:15 sitting, I'll offer a guided meditation around the instructions. So this morning I've mostly offered the information about how to practice, and at the 10:15 sitting we'll practice together, we'll do a guided meditation. But right now, we're going to talk about how to do this while walking.